inside his whip. He rained out his burner. Mama looking at me crying, she asking when they can stop the murder. Till when did they first stop burning? Till there was no more hurdles. Pot green up, no kernels. This new designer, no Virgil. No Tesla, I'm a mega pilot. They told my homie, so I gotta break a silence.
All right, folks, welcome back to the All Hustle No Luck podcast. Today, I'm going to be your host, so, you know, a special podcast, but it's looking like the powers that be don't want us to actually link up on the trio thing no more. I don't know why. So it must mean that we're approaching the next level, but Rob has some internet issues, so we're going to hit him back next week, hopefully, and hopefully everybody else is going to be here as well. But for today, it's going to be me, myself, Chris, as well as Kev. So, Kev, what you up to, man?
None. You know, as Chris says, it might be a long time before we get all three on. We're trying, though. It's not a matter of us not trying, but it's just things aren't linking up right now. But we're here regardless, so let's get to it.
Here regardless, and the content stays the content. So, you know, it was more or less a, you know, in terms of news, it was more or less things that were playing over onto the next week. Things that we already discussed prior. But I decided that today I wanted to go a little deeper into some certain things that have been floating around. And the first thing that I want to hit is KD. Pause. Now, when we're talking about KD, what I want to ask you is, off bat, do you think KD is getting traded before the season starts? I would say, no, not the season. Let me say this. Do you think he's going to get traded before preseason, before man's return back to camp? And, you know what I'm saying, before that period in time, do you think he'll be a Net during that time?
I'm going to say no. And the reason why is because the Nets' price is so ridiculously high that they're not going to get down to a reasonable level by preseason, I don't think.
I hear that.
Because when you first sent over the message, I thought you meant in general. I thought the question was going to be, do you think KD is traded at all? And I was going to say yes. But like, if you're asking me by preseason, nah, I don't think so, because that price tag they have right now is ridiculous, bro.
I don't know who leaked, you know, the trade request of Cat and Ant-Man, but after I seen that, I was like, if that's real, like, come on, fam. Like, I don't know if they leaked it with the mindset of saying that, you know, this is where we started, so we're only going to come down so far from this initial asking price. Right. And in some ways I understand that point. But even in saying that, it's like you can overshoot your shot by so much that it just, you know, breaks the backboard and you have no game. You see what I'm saying?
Honestly, it could have been a Minnesota thing, because the question was with the Gobert trade, was like, yo, why didn't you hit the Nets? This is why.
And Minnesota said, yo, these guys are
Yeah, they're tripping. So, and that actually came out, I remember, after the Gobert trade. There's a report that came out that they had talks about KD, but the price tag was so high that they said not. And that then we come to find out, I guess, what the price tag apparently was. And that's insane, bro. Cat and Anthony Edwards, you're tripping.
To me, it's like, forget about his age, forget about the injury histories, and just the personal problems that we're dealing with when we're talking about KD. Do you think there was a time when he would have been worth that type of return?
No, that's why it's crazy. No.
And that's why I'm saying these guys have no sense.
Yo, like, I don't know, we'll get to it, but like, for me, personal problems with KD doesn't necessarily exist, like, cuz I think he hoops, but injury history is obviously a thing. His I guess loyalty, let's call it, is obviously an issue. So, and age, obviously, cuz he's 34
years old. That's so what
if I'm this saying. Guy is 23 years old, has never left the team. Let's just say this is OKC Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Sparkling resume as far as, you know, a player's concerned at that age. Yeah. Like, no. I'm not giving you one of the top five centers in the NBA. And he's also a good player, like a great player. Perennial all-star, like, on his way to. And Anthony Edwards, who looks like as good as you can look at the age of 21. Come on, bro. That's insane. Plus four picks?
Plus four picks on the side, fam. So
that's the price you give when man's called you about KD last year and there was no conversation about a trade. When that wasn't even in the realm of possibilities, when KD hadn't asked for a trade, you don't want to trade him and you're telling a man to fuck off. That's what that price is. That's not the price after KD hands in a trade request and we know you're on the market.
So in saying that, what do you think is a reasonable expectation when we're talking about Kevin Durant trades. Because in my opinion, and again, we can go over why each of us have differing opinions on when it comes to KD as a person. I wouldn't even say as a person, just as like a player that is playing basketball. So I'm going to say a person. As a person, I have my opinion on KD is that, listen, put aside his age and put aside the injury risk that accompanies him. My issue with him is that he's shown me nothing to say that he is able to be happy in a location since he left OKC. And during that whole OKC run, like, you're tied up regardless of whether you like it or not. So it doesn't really make sense to show malcontent until it's time for you to exit. So we can put that to the side. So I want to start the clock from Golden State moving onwards. And he's never shown me to be happy in any location, or to be satisfied is a better word I should use.
But yo, my where I'd counter that is like, all right, when you trade for a player or you sign a player, you can't expect anything more from him than the contract he signed. Fair, right? Like, you should expect him to at least fulfill that. But anything more is not fair. And that's what he did in Golden State. So that's like, whether or not he was happy, whatever you want to call it, I think he was happy for a decent amount of time. I think he was happy for more than half the time. I think it was just towards the end where, you know,
he was there for three years. So
I think he was happy for two.
I don't think he was happy for two.
Okay, but again, this is the thing, right? Even if we don't think he was happy, there's no possible way. And this is my point with KD, right? And this is the difference between a guy like KD and Kyrie. Let's just say KD was unhappy for all 3 years. He definitely hooped. He definitely laced up his shoes, and he filled out his contractual obligation. So that's why him leaving Golden State, like, I don't look at it from the standpoint of him being like, I don't look at him as that from a loyalty perspective, because, like, again, LeBron James has always fulfilled his contracts, and then he left. Never asked for a trade, so we've never had that part. So I'm not looking at a man and saying, I expected you to stay in Golden State, my thing when I look at Kyrie, and I'm only using him as an example because he's his teammate, and it's a good example, is when Kyrie's happy, he might not show up. That's the difference for me. That's why, when people talk about the personal thing, I think he's being grouped into the wrong discussion, as if, like, you can't count on him to be there. When in reality, like, we've never once seen KD go missing in terms of, like, actually showing up and lacing up his shoes. That's my problem with that sentiment. And as far as I'm concerned, this is his first time where I've seen him not be loyal, in the sense that I signed a 4-year contract, the ink is still fresh, and I'm asking out. That's not loyalty. That's not even fulfilling your contractual obligation. So that I completely hear, and I'm on board for that one. But I'm not down to, I don't think we're counting OKC, obviously, because he filled out his 7 years. But I also don't think we should count Golden State for that same reason, because as unhappy as he was, and I think too, you might think he was only happy for 1 year. Regardless, like, he hooped. Because even when he was unhappy, on the cusp of leaving, apparently he had decided to leave, right? He went out there with his Achilles hanging off the bone.
Yeah, fair. But here's what I will say. It's twofold for me. So I'm not saying that Golden State should be lumped in with this Brooklyn thing, in the sense that it's another proof or showing of unhappiness leading to, you know, disloyal or whatever the case may be. I'm looking at it from the aspect of you're talking about a guy where you see what's going on in the Nets, and now actions that are happening right now at the Nets, it forces you to now look back. The same way how we do the same thing with Kyrie Irving, and this is where I would say it is fair to lump the two of them together. Because when we're seeing things that Kyrie is doing in the current day, every one of us goes back and says, the grains or the nuggets or whatever, the seeds were sown in these areas. Telling the Cleveland Cavaliers that if you don't trade me, I will get surgery and I'm sitting out the entire year. Telling Boston I'm going to re-sign and then leaving the next offseason. Like, these are the things that we went back and said, these were proof of who Kyrie was. All I'm doing is saying I'm holding KD to that same standard.
I don't know. The thing is, though, I agree with you that he's shown a tendency to leave. But with that said, so has LeBron James. And we're not, that's my point of it. And that's why I can't group him with Kyrie Irving, because again, even your first example, I trade me or I will get surgery. Like, let's just, if you hear me say that, think about how insane that is. A man was willing to go under the knife, which people in general in life never want to do. A man was willing to do that if he does not get traded. We have never even fathomed KD doing such a thing. So that's why I'm like, I get it. He has a propensity.
That's fair. There's varying degrees.
That's all I'm saying. That's why, and again, because there's varying degrees, I can't just lump you in with those, because doing that is dangerous. Because again, we're talking about a man who was willing to not lace up. And as far as I know, there has never been a time when that's been a question with KD. As unhappy as he was in Golden State at one point, again, Achilles hanging off the bone.
Yeah, he went out there.
And tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
And then came off and said it's not Golden State's fault.
Fair.
When half the world was blaming it. So it's like, my thing is, like, I understand that there's a risk of KD leaving. I'm just saying that I think the concept of it is overblown. Like, as if, like, he's been doing this since what he's doing right now has been his entire career. Like, he's been blowing up teams his entire career. Kyrie Irving has been blowing up teams since he left LeBron James. Kevin Durant has not been blowing up teams. I think this is his first time doing that. And, like, with the Nets, we've had this conversation, so I'm gonna say it again. Like, I think Kevin Durant created the situation that he's in, right? That's why I don't feel bad for him. But me looking at the situation, is I don't think it's a good one. Like, I just, and again, I'm not feeling bad for him, but objectively, like, and this is my point of view, just to make it very simple. A train wreck does not end in glory. 3 years into this Nets process, I'm going to give you guys the review. First year, KD's Achilles was torn. Kyrie Irving played a total of 20 games and quit. Again, not lacing up his shoes, Chris. Quit, basically got surgery and said, we'll run it back when KD comes back. The next year, KD comes back. He's playing well. They sign James Harden. Everything's looking good. James Harden gets hurt. Kyrie Irving gets hurt. Between that time, Kyrie misses a lot of time. KD misses time, I think, with a knee injury. Harden was a hamstring. Oh, sorry. You're saying KD. I don't remember what it was, but it was he missed a decent amount of time. KD came back. Harden had to play with one leg because Kyrie was out, and they lost to Bucks. They pushed him pretty far considering their roster construction at the time and the injuries they went through. But again, like, that's a lost season. This year was an absolute disaster. You have a man that didn't play because of the vaccine. Personal choice, but the fact is he did not play. Second of all, you have James Harden basically saying, I want out of this team. You have Ben Simmons coming in, not playing. KD's injured within that time. They get swept in the first round. As bad as that season was, I came on here and said, yo, if they don't beat this Boston Celtics team, I don't want to hear from them again. And the reason why is because a story like this does not end in glory. I challenge you to find one NBA team that has won a championship after going through half the turmoil this team has gone through. That simply does not happen. So that's why I'm looking at it and I'm saying, I don't think there's any possible way this team could ever win a championship. None.
Okay,
I'm not going to leave 5%.
Here's a rebuttal, right? Because
I guess my question is, do you think this team could win a championship?
Yes, I do. But, and here's the reason why, right? And over this whole period in time since KD has requested a trade, and it's went dark since then. Reportedly, KD has also went dark, and he's not answering calls even from his own agent. But that's a whole other thing.
His agent?
His own agent, fam. That's what I'm hearing. Like, that's what the news is on streets. But what I will say is that since over this period of time, I've heard different examples of where malcontent has led to eventual winning, right? The first of which is Kobe Bryant was the most recent one that I can remember. Kobe said that I would rather play on Pluto than go back and play for the Lakers. That's what he said. He told him to trade him and he would rather play on Pluto before he plays for the Lakers again. He won two championships after saying that.
Yo, the thing is, okay, right? And that's a good example. But my thing is, we're not just talking about one player, fam.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is the reason why I do believe we're still talking about that one player is because when I look on paper, right? And you can say that you can't look on paper. If you want to take away Kyrie Irving, they can trade Kyrie. They can definitely trade Kyrie.
I'm not going to get anything, though.
It's not that you're going to not get anything, but you'll get something coming through the door. Yes, no. You will get whoever you trade for will be a decent piece. I don't think you're gonna get complete garbage. Like,
I think you'll get Westbrook a first round pick and cap filler. Russell Westbrook is
as low as it gets in the Kyrie Irving trade.
No, you can get Russell Westbrook, but Russell Westbrook is not a good NBA player anymore.
I don't believe he is. But what I'm saying is that he's as low as it gets, and even Russell Westbrook can fill that Bruce Brown role.
And let's be clear. The only reason why you can get Russell Westbrook because the Lakers want him gone.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and the Lakers literally want him off the roster and can't get him off. Yeah, so I don't think, I don't know if I'd say that's the worst you can get. I just think that's like, that's the most notable player you can get. My thing is with
fam, but here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying, right? If you are Kevin Durant, you have, listen, I don't, and this is what I don't want to do, bro. Like, I don't want to go back now and then from everything that I've heard prior, and then I just have to throw all of that in the garbage because KD requested a trade. All of a sudden, Ben Simmons isn't Ben Simmons anymore.
When
that trade went through, I heard Ben Simmons was in a position that he's never been in, and he's going to be the best that he's ever been because of the situation around him. I can't say Ben Simmons is good anymore.
My thing is, Chris, right? And I'm not, even when I have an opinion, I'm going to be willing to step back and talk and speak objectively. Like, what's the most probable outcome, right? And do I think Ben Simmons is good? Do I think Ben Simmons is going to be good? Yes. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm looking at a team on paper, at this point, I have to scratch him out. Same way I have to do Kyrie.
But why?
Because he hasn't hooped. I can't say he's going to hoop in October.
That sounds like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth to me, though.
Because he's going to be good,
and he is good, but I have to scratch him out
because
he hasn't.
Here's the thing. But the thing is, Chris, one is opinion, one is me being objective and looking at probabilities here. If a guy has not played in 2 years, whether I think he's good or not, I can't look at a team and start to factor him in until he laces up. That's just me because, again, I can think what I want. I think that whenever Ben Simmons plays, he's going to be good. But I thought Ben Simmons was going to play 6 months ago. I thought Ben Simmons was going to play when he got traded. So what am I going to do? Continue to estimate when he's going to play? No. I'm going to say when he gets here, he gets here, if he gets here. But when he does get here, I think he's going to be good. So that's why when I'm looking at paper, I'm not talking about both sides of my mouth. What I'm saying to you is my opinion, I think he's going to be good. Do I think he's going to play in October? Yes. What are the chances? I don't think they're like, I'm not confident in saying that. So no, when I'm looking at the paper, I gotta cross out KD. I gotta cross out Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is iffy. Kyrie, I'm not willing to even discuss that, man. Because
I get that. I get the Kyrie.
Right. Okay. So
I'm willing to give you the Kyrie point. I can't give you the Ben Simmons point.
Fine. But what I'm saying, even if you leave Ben Simmons on there, again, I'm looking at him saying, I think he will be good. Do I know he will be? Will he be good? No. He will.
Well, you have Joe Harris. You have Seth Curry, right? You have TJ Warren now, which was a fantastic pick.
Fam, again. TJ Warren?
He hasn't
cross that man off still.
But how am I crossing the man off when you gave him the contract?
Who do you mean?
They signed him, fam.
Bro, they can sign anyone they want. The fact of the matter is, again, Chris, take it. We're talking about a man who hasn't played in 2 years.
Hold on.
My question to you is, has TJ Warren played since the bubble?
He hasn't. But what I'm saying to you is, why are we doing that excuse now? Or why are we saying this now?
It is an excuse.
We can say for every team. Malcolm
Brogdon just
signed with the Celtics the other day, fam. So now do we say cross him off? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Chris, did you listen to the last pod?
No, I heard that you said that he. I heard the last part when you said that he's an injury risk and you can't dictate when his 18.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah, I said all you have to do is hope in June that you get the 18. That's all you can ask for from the man.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, it's the definitive nature of saying cross him off was not there though. That's what I'm saying.
That's my same thought process is the fact that like. Again, you might roll into June. You might roll. And again, this is the thing. Like, a man like, you know, we're not talking Kyrie, so I'm not going to go there. But, like, in terms of Ben Simmons, okay, here's my thing. Right? Because we spent a bit of time on this. Like, I'm not, in me saying that I don't think this team is winning a championship, I'm not excusing Kevin Durant. I'm just saying, like, because here's the thing. Even if you create a situation, even if you do something wrong, it doesn't mean that you should stay there if you realize it shouldn't be. If there's nothing going on, like if you know you're not going to win. Now, am I still going to look at KD away? Yes, because you created this. You signed a 4-year contract, and now you're asking out, and you're 34 years old. That's ridiculous, and you've obviously shown a propensity to leave. You went to the Brooklyn Nets because this was supposed to be home. You were supposed to build something, and now you're quitting. That's why I'm going to look at you away. But am I going to look at him away because he has a ready-made roster that can compete? I don't think so, because even in your Kobe Bryant example, that's one man. I'm telling you, every single notable player that has touched that roster since KD got there, something wrong has happened. It's literally a train wreck. They've spent more time. we spent more time talking about what if than what is.
Yeah,
KD and Kyrie have played less games together than Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Come on, bro. Like, those teams don't win champions. I don't, like, I'm out. Like, that's me. I don't see a train wreck like that happen. Yeah, Kobe's a good example, but Kobe's not the type of person that Kevin Durant is. And again, it's one person. Like, it's not, like, nah, man. I don't think there's any way. I'm like, that's why, and Chris, I told you this. And you know I said this to you. I said, if they lose, I didn't even say if they get swept. I said, if they lose, I told you, if Philly and the Nets don't see each other, don't talk to me about the Nets. Whichever team doesn't make it to that clash, don't talk to me about them. And it was specifically the Nets, because you can only tell me what if. We can only look at paper for so long. It's 3 years we've been looking at this piece of paper. I lit that shit on fire when they got swept. I'm sorry.
All right, so let's get back to the question at hand. And the question that the original question was, what do we think, or what do we see him getting traded for? I don't want to go back through, because I already did the whole trade pod. If you want to go back, you can look at the type of stuff where I was trying to cook up. But what I mean by that is, how far do you see teams going?
I see them going Gobert far. I think Gobert was like an overpay.
When you say Gobert far, are you saying Gobert far in terms of picks, or are you saying combination
assets
between
in general? Just assets.
Assets in general just are going to lead us to say, okay.
Yeah, like just in terms of value, I think. Because I think if KD got traded for the Gobert package, I think we'd be fine with that. I don't know how you feel, but I think I would have been fine with that. Now that Gobert got traded for that, now people have probably kind of adjusted and expected to go more. But like, it's clear that teams are not willing to use an overpay to dictate the market. And like, I commend them for that, because it's clear the Nets said, yo, like, turn me up. When that Gobert trade happened, and I said, yo, relax. So, like, it's not going that way. Because at the end of the day, like, even with Gobert, he's not 34 years old, bro. Like, KD's actually old.
It's crazy, because when you watch him play, it doesn't feel like
he's
34. I didn't realize he doesn't feel that.
I don't think he's going to drop off anytime soon. I don't even think that's the conversation. It's the fact that, like, you're just old.
You're just old.
And the cliff just keeps coming closer and closer. No matter how long you can delay it, it's going to happen at some point. And we're closer today than we were last year. And 34 is old. It's old.
Yeah, to me, I don't see him getting that Gobert package for a lot of different circumstances. But I think low-key, the biggest one of all is the fact that KD wants to go to a place where he can still win. And this is why I'm saying that he can win in the Nets. Like, I don't see, fam. What I'm saying is, like, I don't see him being able to get traded and have a better roster than what he currently has right now on paper at the Nets. That's what I'll say. I don't see that happening.
No, I agree with you, because I think this is a good team on paper. But for me, it's like, if I'm KD, right, I'd rather go to a team that just has a fresh reset, that's out of that mindset. That's out of that train wreck mindset. Because, yo, like, even look at this year. All year, what's going to follow them is, what's Kyrie going to do? What's going to happen with Kyrie? Are they going to extend him? Does he even want to stay? Is he going to go to the Lakers? Like, all those things, if I'm Kevin Durant.
Everyone knows Kyrie's not getting extended. Brother.
But, yo, but don't act like we're not going to talk about it, though.
Nah, fam. That ship sailed.
Fam, like. I promise you, we're going to talk. Is he going to get traded? The Lakers are still interested. Like, if I'm KD, I want to win, right? Which he's saying he wants to do, right? Like, however we feel about that, I want to reset my situation. I want to go somewhere, because, like, I hear you, because, like, the price they're asking for, if he goes to the Suns, they're almost going to, like, gut the team up, right? So, like, I get that on paper, this probably looks the best, but for me, I'd rather go to, like, a mid-tier team. I wouldn't say the Raptors, maybe a team above the Raptors where, like, I have a chance to compete again at a high level.
The Raptors are as mid as it gets. That's we are the definition of mid. Like,
okay, let's just use the Raptors for example. I'm trying not to be a homer here. That's why
mid as it gets.
Okay, but if I'm KD, I'd rather go to that team. Depending on what it comes back, I understand. Like, again, if it's your package, if it's the price that you think it is, I think I'd rather go to the Raptors where they have a structure in place, similar to the Golden State Warriors, where, like, I'm not like there's a structure in place that I can just go and hoop, and Mavs aren't in this current mindset that we're currently in. Again, KD's contributed to that mindset. Like, he's been part of it, because a lot of these things and players that came in were to his liking, to his sign off, all that shit. But like, if we're trying to move past that, like, I can't see myself on that Nets team winning anything, bro. Because then even next year, you're going to lose Kyrie. Then what? And keep in mind, we're talking about losing Kyrie for free.
Well, it's going to be one of those things where we're going to have to just look at it, because I honestly don't believe that he's going to get traded for anything substantial. And that would, if I'm the Nets, if I don't get anything that I actually want, then I hold on to him. But let's go over to the next topic that I had coming off of KD a little bit. And then we can talk about the issues that people are saying that we're having with contracts in general, right? Do you feel like this is an issue that the league has to address? Let's start like
yes.
that.
Yes, short answer, yes.
Okay, so what can they do?
Okay, this is what I feel, and there's going to be a part to this that's not going to make much sense, but I think if you get traded, your salary should go down if you get traded. And the argument to that is that if a team decides to trade you, it's not fair that your salary goes down, which I agree with. So, okay, so let's just say if you hand in a trade request, then your salary goes down. That, I think that's the best way to do it, because right now, teams are out here, Mavs are out here taking advantage of the fact that they can get the Supermax and just request a trade after. And the only other option, I think, is they have to put a mechanism in place where these Mavs actually have to play. Because right now, as much as we say, oh, you signed a four-year deal, you don't have to trade you, it's clear that they have to. Why? I don't know. But it's clear they have to. So they have to put a mechanism in place where if you sign this four-year contract, you lose all your money if you don't play. Or we start doing pay-to-play. You got to play a certain amount of games to get your money still. I don't know, man. What do you think?
See, to me, this is my overall idea when it comes to trying to put things in place to curtail or to try and get power back. And that's basically what the owners are trying to do. They're trying to get power back from the players. And I feel like this is a situation where that boat already left. The ship is gone, and it can't be addressed, because to me, let's take your first example. If you request a trade, your money goes down. At some point, these players are going to get to the point where, and some of them are already there. We've seen it. That's the reason why the Supermax is even in place, is to try and keep people at their original location, right? So they don't end up, a Zion doesn't chase New York lights. An AD doesn't chase Los Angeles lights. That's the reason why Supermax is even in place in the first
place. Right.
So the mere fact that players are saying, nah, I'm good, let me leave. You know what I'm saying? It's showing you that they don't care about losing money when it comes to getting what they need done. They don't care about that.
The problem is, Chris, they're getting the money and leaving.
No, now they are.
That's what I'm saying. So my thought process is, like, if you request a trade, your salary goes down to what it would have been like if you signed with them on the open market. So you lose that Supermax. I think that's fair.
But here's the thing, right? So, like, you lose the Supermax, cool. You can say that in theory. It's kind of like when in football, when they say you can't lower your helmet, even though every single time somebody tackles, the helmet gets lowered. What I mean by that is that anytime a star is disgruntled, you don't have to actually walk into the building and say, trade me, for them to get the message.
That's the problem.
James Harden literally just showed us this.
Yeah, Adrian, problem.
Woj just said with Harden, he's hesitant to put in a official trade request because of the fear of the perception. But we all knew what it was. He didn't have to walk into management and say, trade me.
But then the thing is, I guess my thing with that is like, if you never requested a trade and we don't trade you, I show up.
You can do that, but they can do that right now.
Here's my question to you, right? Because you said you think the ship have already sailed. One thing I know is billionaires are not letting Mavs get off on them. Like, they're not taking L's like this forever. Right now, they have to take these L's because this is what they signed up for within the CBA. But what I'm saying is, like, they're going to, at some point, stand up for themselves. And I truly believe, I'm all for a man getting his money. I don't care that they're taking money from these people. It's the fact that, like, yo, the 15-year-old in high school right now who's going to be in the league is going to be the one to suffer, because they're going to tell Mavs to fuck off at some point.
I don't think they suffer though. I honestly, because I
like okay. Unless, the money's going to continue to go up. Obviously, the money's going to continue to go up, so they're going to still make more money. That's not my. But the point is,
I'm not saying that you're saying that the relation or
yeah, the relationship and the way the backwards right. And I think but the way that the people like the way they walk in the building and talk to these people,
I'm going to go backwards. I'm saying I don't think that is. I don't think that's the case because we're not talking about the NFL when you have. At any given time, there's 24 people on the field or 22 people on the field at one time.
Right.
It's five for one team and five for the other. And oftentimes, if one person is good enough, that one person is basically three people in one.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, the way I see it is, if that superstar is a superstar, the value that they give off, it's too much. There's no way you don't bow down to that. And if you're not bowing down to it, others will. And if all mans, because you have to remember, this isn't a matter of like one eating and another doesn't eat. You know what I'm saying? Or what I mean by that is, for a superstar to force their way out, another owner is winning. Another owner gets richer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Their franchise gets more value. So the only way that there I can see a time when, you know, this goes the opposite way is for all owners to actually come to 100% agreement. And that 100% agreement will never be the case. It simply won't.
Man's like the Lakers are eating off this stuff.
The Lakers will never do that. The Lakers will never put themselves in a position where they can't show we're LA. The New York Knicks, that's all they have. They will never give up their leverage of saying we're New York.
But yo, two things to that. One is like, okay, I agree with you. But when we look at the landscape, it's not just superstars doing this, fam. Like, that's my problem with it. It's not LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry doing it. These aren't the guys we're talking like, these aren't the only guys we're talking about. A man like Zach LaVine could do this tomorrow. And who is he? A man with 200 million. That's what I'm just looking at. I'm just saying, like, yeah, like, okay, think about it 10 years ago. The mans that were really flexing were the mans that were really movers and shakers in this. Now anyone can flex. A man like Zion, we've talked about a man like Zion taking the money and doing the dash. And he has played like 100 games. That's my thing. That's when I look at it and it's like, yo, I guess like my question, if you think this is going to continue, and I'm not saying it's going to go to NFL standards. I'm just saying we're going to take a step back where, like, mans aren't going to be able to just walk in and request a trade without repercussions and, like, keep all their money. Right now, you get the best of both worlds. I think at some point, the owners are going to figure out a way where you're only going to get one. You're either going to take a pay cut or you're going to take a pay cut and go where you want, or you're going to stay where you signed up for and fulfill your contract. Because, right now, mans have trade kickers for 15% if you get traded. That means I can request a trade and tell you I want out and then get plus 15%. Do you know how insane that is? Bradley Beal's getting 250 and he can request a trade and get 15% more. That is borderline insanity.
Oh, shit. But here's the thing, right? I will say to you is that when we're talking about a Zach LaVine, a Zion Williamson, Bradley Beal, yeah, they may not be movers and shakers, but they're in a position for a reason. Whoever that is that is giving them that value, whether it's a team, whether it's a league, whether it's a market, it doesn't, like, to me, it's like, you'll never see a man like Joe Ingles do this for a reason. He doesn't have that type of leverage, fam. He doesn't have that type of influence. Zach LaVine gets the influence because the Chicago Bulls are bending over backwards, wanting his signature.
But yo, and that's
clearly the Washington Wizards. I don't know what in God's green earth that they're on. I don't know what they're on to give the man $250 million a year and then turn around and give the man a no trade clause. That is insanity. But this is what I'm saying, where it's like they're going to do what they feel is in their best interest as that team, right? They could have traded him countless of times. Countless. Fam, we were talking about Bradley Beal trade since 2017.
Yo.
We're in 2022. They haven't traded him. So maybe they're thinking, fam, we've had 5 years to trade this guy and we haven't done it. So why do it now? Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Well, I think like the contract structure in this league has kind of created a market where mans just have to pay these guys. Because, yo, the problem is with this, the current contract structure, in my opinion,
that's what
from a team's perspective, is the fact that a man like LeBron James and Zach LaVine shouldn't be able to get. Yeah, I think that's the problem. Because then it creates a situation where, because you need to have these guys, even if LaVine's not a true mover and shaker, like you have to have at least a Zach LaVine in this league to even make a 12 seed. And that's the fucked up part. So you end up paying a man $200 million. Meanwhile, a man like LeBron's getting that same $200 million. Even Bradley Beal getting 250. Even if LeBron were to get $50 million more than LaVine, that's still not enough, bro. Like, it's just that's the true issue, and that's why these teams have to bend over backwards for these guys that are not really difference makers.
Yeah, I think that's what we can look towards when we're talking about a fix. I would say that there needs to be more of a distinction based on who the player is, in terms of, so for example, right now what they have is that if you've made an All-NBA defensive team or MVP, then you can get a different amount of money, right? I think they should lean into that further, where they say, like, after 5 All-NBAs, you're eligible for this. After 10 All-NBAs, or, you know, whatever the case is, just lean into that a little bit more, and that way you'll create that type of distinction. But as I said over in the group chats, fam, the money is getting so ridiculous in the NBA now, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So contracts are going to get even more reckless. Like, I saw something the other day where it says Chauncey Billups, over his entire career, Chauncey Billups played 15 years in the league and he made $102 million total, right? Damian Lillard just signed a 2-year extension for $122 million, fam. So to me, it's just like, it's a lot of different things that are playing into the same pot that is making this like jumbo of that looks like a mess. But at the end of the day, it's not necessarily a mess. It's just what the NBA is at this point in time. I don't know if the bubble is going to burst in the sense that, you know, an economic crash happening to the league, but I don't see that happening.
No,
I don't see that. That's not an issue. You know what I'm saying?
The money's going to continue to go up.
And if the money keeps on going up, well, my fault. Let me just finish with this. If the money keeps on going up, the value keeps on going up for these players because there's money to be made. And the most valuable players will always be able to use that value that they have to get whatever concessions that they want to get. Because again, there's 5 players on the court at one time for each team. And the true superstars, the value over replacement, the true superstars, come on, you have no choice.
And I agree with the true superstars. That's what I agree with. I agree with the true superstars still.
All right, so let's move forward. And it's kind of taking on the same stance, but looking at it from a different perspective, because I remember back in the day, we always used to champion the players. And even right now, currently, we still do. Like, Kobe played for one team. Reggie Miller played for one team. Dirk played for one team. Tim Duncan, one team. Like, you have these players that never moved, and, you know, they were loyal to the franchise, and the franchise in turn was loyal to them, right? Now we have cases like Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard that are supposedly loyal to the franchise, but they're not getting that type of adoration. And it was a surprise to me when Bradley Beal signed that contract and people were bashing him. And I thought I was alone in that thinking, but nah, looking outwards, people honestly don't rate Bradley Beal like that. So I'm saying to you is, do you feel like we no longer respect loyalty, or is there something else at play when we're talking about these players making the money that they make?
Here's my thing, right? And I think the reason why these guys have kind of turned into bad examples is because they've kind of flirted with leaving anyways. So they're not as loyal as we once.
But we know Kobe did too.
Yeah, that's true.
We know other players did too. Like,
that is true. I guess that doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. We have completely disrespected loyalty because on one hand, we used to champion guys for staying with one team, right? And then, like, even look at a guy like Dirk. Let's be clear. Like, by the time he won, it never really looked like he was going to get one. And the fact of the matter is that we champion guys like Steph Curry because he stayed on one team and won. But we don't champion a guy like Damian Lillard, who up until a year ago would condemn any conversation about leaving. We called him a loser. And again, my thing with Bradley Beal is, like, he wasn't even competing, at the very least. Like, he was not competing. At least I could look at Dame and say he competed. He made a conference finals. Like, he's been competing, I should say. He's been a guy that's been in the conversation in terms of performance, in terms of, like, in the playoffs when time comes. Like, he hasn't reached anything extremely high. But We don't respect winning because we call loyal people losers now, unless you win a championship. But the fact of the matter is like, if I drop Damian Lillard on a team that is fucking shit, but he wants to stick it out because that's where he was drafted and he wants to stay there and play for one team for his entire career, we're going to call that guy a loser, despite his play, despite what it is, despite his surroundings. We're not going to add context. We're not going to look at the team and say, okay, what you've had around you is not conducive for you to win a championship. I don't think anyone's going to look at that, any Portland team, and say he should have won a championship at any point. But we're still going to call him a loser. And it's not fair, because then we can't in any way say we value loyalty. The fact of the matter is, what it's always been is, it's been results. We do not give a fuck about process. We don't care that you were loyal throughout 20 years of your career. We only care if you won a championship. If you won a championship, we'll look back and commend you for being loyal. If you didn't, you're a loser. Simple. There's nothing more to it. And again, if you disagree with what I'm saying because you're not willing to look inward, give me an example.
No, I don't disagree, but
I'm sorry, that wasn't you specifically. I meant in general.
I know what you're saying, but I'm saying I don't disagree with what you're saying. I would say that I can have it both ways in this aspect, though, because on one hand, I do hear what you're saying is that we're in love with the process, no, we're in love with the result, and we don't really care for the process. But on the other hand, we really don't. We just want to see the winning.
Right.
But what I will say is, when we're talking about a guy like Damian Lillard, and this is my issue with, to me, I don't ever want to feel as a fan that you put monetary gains over results on the court. That's my issue. And I'm not trying to count people's pockets, but at the same time, there's no way I cannot count a pocket when I have this position. And what I mean by that is, Damian Lillard fancies himself as, you know, one of those guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of those guys that puts his all into the game. To me, if you truly put your all into the game and you truly care to the level that you say you care, then you should care. Like, winning should be the utmost and be all for you. You know what I'm saying? A guy that says he's not running from the grind, right? A guy that says that, you know, in the summertime, he puts his time in the dark that he can shine in the light. I have respect for that. But what I don't have respect for is when your team is in a clear rebuilding process. And right now they're pushing back on the rebuild because they have Damian Lillard. But really and truly, they should be leaning into it because it's not working and it's not going to work. We all know that. So for me, looking at Damian Lillard, I'm saying, fam, it's okay. Like, it's actually okay. Like, it's not as if we can't say as a fan base or as NBA fans that you, Damian Lillard, didn't give your all to the Portland Trailblazers. We know you did. The Portland Trailblazers.
How do you call a man like that a loser, though?
I call the man a loser when I hear him saying that instead of him talking about, you know, getting championships, whatever, now the mindset changes. And now I hear him saying, if I never win a championship, I'm fine with that. As long as I'm loyal to the Portland Trailblazers or something. I don't have that word for it, but basically what he said is that he's okay with never winning a championship because he doesn't want to be one of those guys that are out there chasing a ring. If it never comes, it never comes. To me, that's resting on laurels to me.
But that's loyalty. That's unwavering loyalty, though.
Yeah, and I'm saying, like, some form of loyalty, fam. And I'm not trying to get dark, but what I'm saying is, like, if you're in a toxic relationship, bro, at some point your loyalty is going to be questioned for stupidity. No?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm with a shorty, if I'm with a shorty and my shorty is outside all the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know where she is. I'm calling her. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
You should just leave.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point I have to respect myself and say, yo, the relationship, it was what it was, but now the relationship has ended. At some point I need to look at myself and I say, I need better.
And you know what the missing part is, though? Fam,
the cold part is that Portland themselves, if they traded this man, they probably wanted to trade the man. You know what I'm saying? Portland themselves would have turned around and been like, yo, fam, the same thing what they did with CJ. You saw all the love and admiration they got off of CJ? And now CJ is in a position right now where he has an opportunity to potentially do something. You can have it both ways when it comes to this loyalty thing. No one is going to say that CJ is not loyal. No one.
But yo, like, I just think, obviously, this, you know, the star thing of man's moving has become kind of normalized now. So I think we've just pivoted away from, like, giving a fuck. Like, again, that's what, like, you're right in the sense that if you're in a toxic relationship, but the difference is where I'd say the Portland Trailblazers have at least tried. Like, they've tried to put pieces around him. They've made trades. They've committed.
And it's not money. Working, fam.
Right. No, I understand. Working. But I'm saying that's the difference. Is like,
how it's long not, are you going to hit your head on the wall?
They're just not slutting him out there without the process of trying. That's my only thing. And like, what I'm saying is like, hold on. From Dame's perspective, right? You're saying like, you don't want a man to look at money over winning. Let's be clear. Steph Curry took the $50 million when his team was in the absolute dumps. Could he have taken less to help things around? Could he restructure his contract right now to help Mans? He's not. When they're talking about losing Gary Payton, all these Mans, and what's going to happen with Wiggins, could he try and take less money? He could. He's not going to.
No, but we know why he's not going to.
No, but we also, but the thing is,
because that man is walking results.
Right, but again, what I'm saying is though, like, that money aspect is a byproduct of the loyalty. That's what the Supermax is for. And the fact of the matter is, he could get the Supermax and still ask to leave, and he hasn't done that yet. Definitively, yes,
so he's not completely shameless, but I still feel like I'm in the right for calling him a loser, because what I'm saying to you is that you can only hit your head on the wall for so much times, and now your rhetoric is changing. I'm hearing different things from you when I wasn't hearing that from you. All of a sudden, a championship isn't the end all be all. When did that happen?
But yo, that's not like. Again, when I hear somebody say that, I understand what they're saying. Like, when you tell me that championship is the end all be all, that's not to me saying you don't want to win a championship. It doesn't mean you don't play for a championship. It just means that
it means that you know you're not winning a championship.
How I see it. That's not how I see it. No. That's not, because to me, it's like, again, saying that I'm not a person that's like, I'm not one track minded. I can understand that multiple things can be important to you. Just because it's not the thing you're willing to die for, it doesn't mean you're not willing to go out there, spend 20 hours in the gym to get it. Like, that's just the way I see it. So a man saying that a championship's not the end all, because again, those two things go hand in hand. If a championship is the absolute end all be all, you will not be able to live with yourself if you don't get it. Then you're going to make that move. But that's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. It's not one of those. Some mans, as far as I'm concerned, had to get one. LeBron James had to get one, had to, for his sanity. Damian Lillard is saying for his sanity, for his life, he does not have to get one. That doesn't mean he does not want one. That doesn't mean he doesn't go out every single game trying to work towards that process. That's the unfair part when men say words and we take it further than it has to go, because that's not what he's saying. This doesn't mean he's resigned to the fact he's not going to win a championship. No, he's just saying that if he were to win a championship, he wants it to be here. And yeah,
But fam, at some point, it's like, how can I put this? I can't say that I want to look like Cristiano Ronaldo and then I don't touch a gym. You see what I'm saying? Like, at some point, there needs to be actions that are holding up the words that you say out of your mouth.
And but again,
I've seen from the Portland Trail Blazers have indicated to me that they will not win a championship in Damian Lillard's time being there. It won't happen.
But yo, Damian Lillard
knows that.
It's looking like Ronaldo the end all be all for you. Are you going to die if you don't look like him? Do you need that? Do you need to look like him to survive? Because again, that's the difference to me.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying is, like, for Damian Lillard, the type of player that I see him as, and the respect that I've had for him, I saw him as that type of player to say championships is your end goal, and you play this game to win. You don't play this game for anything else but winning,
bro. That's the problem. Like, you're looking at it from that point. Yes, he can still play the game to win and be okay if he doesn't win a championship. Like, that's the thing. Like, we want Master World to die and hate their life if they don't win a championship and be haunted by ghosts. Like,
That's not realistic, fam.
That's my thing.
Like, that's what I need. So.
Okay, and that's not realistic. and that's why we're calling man losers and pretending we care about loyalty when we don't. Simple. I'd rather man just say we don't care about loyalty anymore because we've seen superstars chase it.
No, fam. That's what I'm saying. There's the different degrees. I'm not saying that. I don't care about loyalty from the aspect of Kevin Durant can do what he's doing right now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that Dame showed me already.
Okay,
he is loyal. You check that box, fam. Trust me, the box is checked.
That's not how loyalty works, though. That's not how loyalty works.
We see it. His actions have proved that.
But I'm saying with CJ's actions proved it.
When OKC OKC traded Russ. Russ said that, you know, his time has ran the course in OKC. And this is before people started calling him shit and everything like that. He was still considered to be a top 10 player in the league. When OKC traded him, fam, come on. He wasn't
not top 10, but he wasn't. Right, well, he was where he is now.
Yeah, he was still considered. He was still highly regarded in the league.
Yeah, let's put it that agreed.
Way. So when OKC traded him, nobody went out there and said, "Wow, Russ is really out here running from OKC chasing rings." Nobody said that.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? And you brought that up when we were having this conversation. My rebuttal to that is OKC wanted to trade him. Like it was
right now. Portland would want to trade him. Portland would trade him if they made it possible for himself to be traded.
And we don't know that to be factual, but it's very possible that that's the case. So let's just act as if that is 100% fact, and let's just talk as if okay. If they want to trade him, no one's gonna be mad at Dame for leaving. I don't think anyone would be mad at him. The difference is that like when we're talking about loyalty. Like he's one of those guys that, again, if we talk about loyalty, it's unwavering. And 10 years ago, Mavs would have told me they cared about that. Honestly, 5 years ago, Mavs would have told me they cared about that because Mavs were still mad about some of the moves that were being made in this league. But now so many people have made it and it's become normalized to the fact that we don't care. And I'm just of the standpoint is if you don't care, then don't care. Like, it's that simple. Don't praise a man like Steph Curry for loyalty, but just praise him for winning. Don't praise Giannis for being loyal. Just praise him for winning. Fact. Because, okay, hold on. Giannis is a perfect example. If Giannis didn't get that championship and when he re-signed that deal, Mavs would have been looking at away. Because, Chris, we sat on this podcast and we were all looking at Giannis away when he re-signed that deal. Because we didn't think Bucks were going to get there. Yeah. So it's not a matter of who. And that's my problem with this. Yeah, we can nitpick Dame and give clear examples. It's not a matter of who. It's a matter of... We don't care who it is. We don't care anymore. Before, we may have cared who it was. We may have cared about the circumstances. But every single time one of these players stay with a team, take a lot of money, and haven't won yet, we call them losers. Giannis, Beal, Dame. You can look at any single one of them and rationalize it or add context. But I keep saying on this podcast, analyze trends. Why every single time do we call these guys a loser?
Okay. Here's what I was saying, and then we're gonna move on to the final question. Here's what I would say, right? You're one of the most loyal mans I know. Mans call you Pastor Kefir, right? But if we ever found out that your shorty was mistreating you...
Stop calling that, man. Stop calling that.
Whatever.
Stop calling me that stuff. Please. Please.
But if I ever found out that your shorty was mistreating you, right? Now I'm looking at you away and I'm going to have to remove that title for Gal Clown. You see what I'm saying? It may not be fair. It may not be fair because you haven't changed as a person. You're just out here saying that as a man, this is how my queen is supposed to be treated. You see what I'm saying? Right. But if you're not getting that same thing reciprocated, then something is happening. So the same way, what I'm saying is, yes, Dame is a very loyal person. He looks like he's like that just as an individual, as a human being, basketball or no basketball. That's the vibe he gives off. But the game is not being loyal to him right now, giving him the results that he requires.
I understand. I get it and I hear you. But there's certain people, right? Even in your example, right? There's certain people... Where, and let's just take this away from me because I don't want this to be about me. Let's just say generally, there's certain people, there can be someone in a relationship who's getting done the dirtiest, the absolute dirtiest for years, consistently over and over and over, and they will never leave because they have that unwavering loyalty. And again, we're going to look at them from the outside and say, that's an idiot thing. Right? Yeah, and we can all look at Damian Lillard and say, that's an idiot thing. Right, but we should not look at him and call him a loser because of that. That's all I'm saying.
I guess. Because,
and again, Damian Lillard is one example. But again, explain to me why we called Giannis, Beal, and Lillard losers with all three different situations. Because we don't care about your loyalty anymore. We don't. If I'm being honest, we never cared about loyalty.
Gotta be loyal to winning, fam.
The only mans we look at and call loyal
are the ones that won. Yeah, loyal to winning is what we care about.
Because those mans that played 15 years for a franchise and we don't talk about them, you know. When we think about loyal players, we don't even think to them because they didn't win shit.
Yeah, but to me, that's just a byproduct. Like the same way how the top of the top echelon players, if we ring count, you know what I'm saying? The same way how we ring count for those guys is the same way how the lower tiers, if they don't win anything and they're out here collecting checks, you're going to hear you're a loser. You know what I'm saying?
It's
the same type of shit.
My only thing is I'd say to Dame is that you have basically subscribed yourself to that lifestyle if you decide to be loyal. As long as he understands that that's the class he's put himself in and he's okay with that, then I wouldn't have a problem. Now, if he was a man out here when he retires, complaining about how he didn't get his flowers and Mavs don't rate him like they rate Steph Curry, then I tell you to shut up. But if you understand that they're not the league, Portland might love you like they love Steph Curry, but the league won't love you like they love Steph Curry. As long as you understand that, yeah. I'm cool.
All right, let's move on to the next and final topic of the day. I'm not sure if you got a chance to look over on that RJ video, but basically what he was saying is that teams aren't doing it the way that, you know, they were doing it back then, back in the day during his time playing, and RJ as in Richard Jefferson. And what he was saying is that his own experience, he went to the finals, was guarding Kobe Bryant, and he was in Summer League 2 or 3 weeks later from that point. And why was he in Summer League? He was in Summer League because the team told him, I want to see how, you know, I want to see more dribbling from you, more playmaking. I want to see some chemistry with Brian Scalabrine and this next guy. I don't know who that was. But basically, the team gave him a directive of how they want to see his game improving, even though he was a key cog on a team that went to the finals and he played meaningful minutes guarding Kobe Bryant in that finals. And now he's saying he's looking courtside and he's seeing a Jalen Suggs, you know, sitting on the sideline, and a Jalen Green on the sideline, and a whole bunch of, you know, second year players where he's saying, if you're in this building, why are you not on the court? And that was the same sentiment that, you know, you guys, and I would say you guys were, you and Pat were talking about Josh Giddey. And I was saying, fam, like, to me, I don't see the problem with it. So since that point of view, I don't know if you saw the video or not, but has your mindset changed on that second year players playing in the Summer League? Or, you know, do you still stand on, fam, right, I've seen you perform to a certain level in the regular season, there's no need for you to be out there in Summer League.
This is the thing, right? It's not just about second year. I saw the video and it's just a matter to me of, and it's hard to quantify this, but it's just a matter of how good you were. If you're a first team all NBA rookie, you shouldn't be out there. Like, Jalen Suggs wasn't good. Jalen Suggs should be out there. Jalen Suggs should be out there.
Yeah, and, for
like
sure.
As you're saying it now, like obviously Jalen Suggs should be out there. My problem is like, I look at a guy like, here's my example, right? If Josh Giddey hurts himself in a regular NBA game, no one's going to be like, why was he out there? Because he was supposed to be out there. If Jalen Suggs hurt himself in a regular NBA game, no one would be like, why is he out there? Because he's supposed to be out there. If Josh Giddey injures himself in a summer league game, God forbid he does a, you know, the one we always talk about, torn ACL, right? Let's say he tears his ACL. The first question Mads would ask is, why was he out there? If Jalen Suggs was playing in summer league and he tore his ACL, we would not be saying, why was he out there? We know he was supposed to be there. That's my problem. That's the simplest way to evaluate if a man should be out there. It's the same way I look at a guy like Jalen Green. Jalen Green had serious struggles throughout the NBA season, turned it on late. Josh Giddey was pretty good throughout. He was very consistent throughout. I don't think a guy like Josh Giddey or Jalen Green is going to get anything from this. Maybe something marginal. I hear the Chet Holmgren thing, but like, it's just not worth it. The risk is not worth it. And again, it's just a matter of like, do you have more to gain than you do to lose? That's it for me. Because Jalen Suggs is a bad example. He should not be there. And I don't think, he should be out there. And I don't think Josh Giddey. Because Josh Giddey just leaves bullying mans out there.
Yeah, for sure. Like he that's the thing, like, you can tell, put Josh Giddey aside because clearly he shouldn't be out there in terms of the talent level that we're seeing. But what I will say is that I had two type of thinkings with this whole thing. I can say that there's no way in hell I want to see Scottie Barnes on no summer league team. No way in hell. And that's what I get. Like, there's no way I'm looking at the Raptors summer league team and I'm seeing Scottie Barnes on the team for what? Right,
I think Josh Giddey's closer to Scotty than he is to a Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, definitely. But where I agree with what RJ is saying is that if Scotty were to be out there, why is he out there? He's out there because the team is saying, Scotty, we know you have that little floater game. We know you have that little runner. We know you can score in and around the basket, but we want to see you create your own shot in different areas on the court. We want to see you, those three balls that we saw you doing in practice, the sidestep threes and whatever, I want to see that in a live game. You know, I want to see you handling the ball as that point guard. I want to see you do different things that we may not be able to get you to do when the games actually matter, because at that point, every game matters. Every game counts. in these summer league games, it doesn't matter what happens. If we lose, we lose. If we lose by 50, it doesn't matter. We lose. But at the same time, I want you to start getting comfortable with doing things that you may be uncomfortable with. And in doing that, mistakes are going to come. But this is where mistakes are supposed to be made, right? So I get that point of view. And in that thinking, I'm saying, yeah, like, that's why the risk is there for a guy like Josh Giddey. But at the same time, it's like, there's also so much to gain as well, because now you can now you can go a month or a month and a half before training camp starts, and you can look back and you can say, you know what I'm saying? Like, the three ball still needs improvement, because that's what I'm seeing from him. Like, he's still struggling to hit that shot. That still needs improvement. Like, you know what to work on more, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just crystallizes your focus a little bit more going into that season now, that of things that you need to get addressed. That's all I'm saying. But
no, you're right in that. It's just like, I just think game one, Josh Giddey steps out there and tears his ACL, Mans would have rioted.
Yeah, for sure. I hear that.
That's my thinking of it. It's just like, because again, if Jalen Suggs stepped out there, tore his ACL, Mans would not have rioted, because we know he needs to be there.
Yeah, I hear that. And I hear that.
That's
and
my
I,
thought process.
I hear that. But like, that's up for the team to gauge, I guess. Like,
if yeah, the team like, is obviously saying that there's
more to gain here, then.
When I first saw Josh Giddey there, I was blaming Josh Giddey. And then you said, like, you know, maybe it's the team that's telling him to be there. And I said, like, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm wrong. Like, it's unfair to me to assume that it's a Josh Giddey thing, that Josh Giddey just wants to go out there and beat up on Mans. So I get that. Like, I'm not looking at Josh Giddey away anymore. But it's just like, just the decision in general, whoever made it to me, is just like, I get it. You're right. It crystallizes things you need to work on. He's going to be able to work on those things, make mistakes, and it truly does not matter. But like, when you look at Mans in runs during the offseason, you know, you see them going half pace. Summer League is not half pace, bro. Like, Summer League is not. Mans are out there dying for something. Yeah, there's Mans out there that need to make $1 million.
Still, yeah.
So it's like,
dying for some type of contract.
Yeah, exactly. Like, everyone, there's Mans out there with literally their NBA life on the line. There's a man that may never put on an NBA jersey ever again in their life.
They'll put on a turkey jersey, though.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, it's not like a live scrimmage or like a semi-competitive thing. There's Mans out there who are going to dive for loose balls. There's Mans out there that are going to spear your ankle in process of getting that check. And then what happens afterwards? We're going to look back and be like, oh, they shouldn't have done this, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just not worth it to me, man. I understand the benefits, right? I hear you on that, 100% hear you. But, man, a guy like Josh Giddey, I believe he was first team rookie. No way, man.
Nah, I think he was second. He was second team.
Oh, okay. Well, like, I think Josh Giddey being a starter, one of the best players on his team, I'd say, all year. Like, I put him in the not talent wise, but in terms of what he did in his rookie season, up there with a man like Kate.
Yeah, he started all year and put up.
Yeah, like that's what I see. It's like, best player on his team, probably. Like, I don't think, man. Like, I don't know. You got to figure out another way.
All right, so we got like, no, three to 5 minutes. Let's just do a little quick hit. I don't know how much Summer League you were able to watch. Were you able to see whatever from Chet? You know, he had
highlights. I've seen highlights. I haven't watched anything fully through, but I've watched highlights.
So what I'll say is, because I watched that first game and then I watched his second game, that first game virtuoso performance. But that first game, I want to throw it away because, you know, he was going up against Taco Fall, and Taco Fall was getting mashed up. But at some point, though, what I will say is that at some point, it could be a cone, like a cone that is not moving. And if you're still doing certain things on the court, at some point, that's just talent. It doesn't matter who is guarding you. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
So what I mean by that is, like, I was seeing in that first game things that a 7 foot tall man just shouldn't be able to, like, bringing the ball up on the break and pulling up into a shot when you realize that a Taco Fall doesn't want to get out to you on three. So instead of you driving, you do a behind-the-back dribble into a pull-up jumper, should not be done by a 7 foot tall man. That's what I will say about Chet. So there's things that in his game where I'm saying, yeah, you know, that's different. But at the same point in that second game, Kenny Lofton is 280, 270 pounds, whatever he may be. He's a big boy, right? But at the same time, he's undrafted. And the man took the man's lunch money. The man absolutely destroyed Chet in that game. I understand Chet still came out with 11 points and 12 rebounds and a couple of blocks, but I don't care, because in that 1v1 matchup, Kenny Lofton put his ass under the rim countless of times.
literally put him under the rim. And he's only about 6'6", 6'7", right? And that's the issue where I'm saying, all right, so now you're looking at, you know, a Nurkic. You don't even talk about Embiid and Jokic. You don't have to talk about those men.
That's my thing.
Like, you don't have to talk about those type of players. It's to talk about the other players where we're talking about a Nurkic or even a man like Brook Lopez will go down there and give that man business in the post. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, for all the talent that I see, and the blocking is for real. That's what I knew for a fact.
Yeah. 100.
The blocking 100. Is for real. His offensive skill, when he gets, you know, acclimated to what the game is, it's for real as well. Because he was even making some passes where I'm saying that's some great vision for a big man as well. But I still have that ultimate fear of the man might just be too small, bro.
Yeah, I think the shot blocking is the most impressive thing to me because he's contesting with like two hands going straight up. Like
straight up.
He gets across. He gets across the lane quickly. That'll give to him 100. Like, he looks like he can come into the league and block three shots a game. The offensive skill set looks very good. I agree with you. Like, even if Taco Fall is guarding you, a lot of the things, they're pro moves. That's what I like to call them. Like, he's just making pro moves where I could say, okay, if you can show me this, whether it's Taco Fall or Clint Capella guarding you, like, it looks good. Right? You just touched on it. Like, originally, I kept saying to myself, what's he going to do when he sees an Embiid? What's he going to do when he sees a Jokic? And then I realized, I was like, that's not even fair because, like, Jokic is, and Embiid are dealing with everybody, all 300 men in there. What happens when you see a Yusuf Nurk? You're touching the front row. You're sitting with the cameraman.
Trust me.
And it's not a skill set snap, but Clint Capella, what are those men going to do? What is Hassan Whiteside going to do to you?
Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
It's just the lower level man that are. Brook Lopez is a great one because Brook Lopez plays on the perimeter, but he can touch the post and give a man.
Milwaukee Bucks are going to say Chet's out there. Say less.
Yeah, Brooke. it's gonna be bad, and it's like I know man's like to say like the weight is like one of the easier things if he has the skill set, if he has everything else, like that's the easier thing. But at this stage, like, why is he 195?
Yeah, when I seen Kenny Lofton put Boy under the rim, I said, nah, this is trouble, and this is why I had that issue. Because I see everything else. I definitely see everything else. But at the end of the day, he cannot run away from a big because he plays either power forward or center. And in this league, this is not college. In the NBA.
I feel like Paolo
would mush him up down there, fam. Are you crazy? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but what I'm saying is, like, in this league, if you have weaknesses, you have to understand that we will take it. We will get it from you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we will extract that weakness. It's not a matter of if. So that's what I would say about him. But just quickly off of Jabari and Chet, I haven't really saw, not Chet, Paolo. Paolo looks like the real goddamn deal. I get it's summer league. But what I'm saying is, when I watch that guy play basketball, I'm saying to myself, why was he not the consensus number one from the very beginning?
Man, it's a madness. Yo, he's so big.
Fam, he looks 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
With muscle. Like, Jabari is also tall as hell, you know what I'm saying? But Jabari is slim. He's kind of skinnier.
Paolo's playing strong.
Paolo is a big boy, fam. Pause. Like, that guy looks like he's gonna bully you. He looks like he has a 4-year body already in the NBA. That's the type of body he looks like.
Looks like he has no business being out there.
Has no business. He looks like a man. And when I'm watching him, I'm saying, why was he not consensus number one?
He's passing, which I didn't know he had. I didn't know he had it.
Right now, tip your hat to Orlando. Because, yo, fam, I seen him pin Jabari Smith on one end of the court. He took the ball. He went down the court, and he lasered a pass like he's LeBron James.
Yeah.
To the corner for three.
Now that I'm seeing how good he is, I'm kind of sad he's on Orlando still. But
nah, I'm not sad about it. Yeah, because he's gonna get free reign. That team struggles to score, so he's gonna get free reign to just have the ball.
He looks ridiculous, man. Rebounding, assists, like he had a huge block in
shot making right at the rim, fam.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I'm trying not to get ahead of myself.
I get it. Summer league. I understand that.
I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but
I'm looking at this man saying he's about to average 16-10 off rip. No cap. Yeah,
something like that. Four assists. Something like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, off rip. And then when he actually, you know, forms into what he can be, this guy's the limit if this is how he's already moving.
I'm looking at this class and, like, because I'll be honest, like, I was pretty low on Chet compared to other people, but I feel better about him now than I did before summer league started. Just because, like, the skill set, the shot blocking, like, I knew he was going to get bullied, right? So, like, the Kenny Lofton thing just reinforces it, but it's nothing new. But, like, the skill set and stuff, so I feel better about him. Paolo, I feel I'm looking at him again. It's just summer league, but again, pro moves. That's what I like to see from Mets. Like even if it's just summer league,
it doesn't matter.
He looks better than everybody else.
Let me see you do it, though. You know,
yeah, and he's like, he's taking guys who are his size. He's spinning on them in the post. Like he's facing man's up. He's hitting shots. The passing, huge. Like his motor looks fairly good.
His motor looks like it runs. The thing is with Jabari Smith is what I will say is the same issues that he had at Auburn when it came to not having anybody to set him up is the same issues that he's going to have over at Houston. Because that first game, Josh Christopher started at point guard and Josh Christopher said, fuck you. Excuse my French. I'm out here to show what I'm doing. And that's the issue with Houston because everyone has that mentality when it comes to the Houston guards. The Houston guards don't care about you. They care about them. They care about scoring. That they're score-first players. And they don't have a point guard to set that man up. And from that aspect of it, I can see why Orlando's saying, fam, look at us. We need offense. We need creators. We can't have a next man where we have to try and spoon feed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we need a man that's going to be able to get the ball and go do it. I'm not giving up on Jabari because even in those struggles that he's having, when you look at the box score, he's still getting steals, blocks. He's still getting rebounds. The shot isn't necessarily falling, but hey, you can never get in the rhythm if you need a man to always give you the ball and feed you. When that's just not happening. So you end up taking stupid shots because, you know, I don't know when I'm getting the ball back. So I get that point. Just to round it off, Jaden Ivey, he got hurt, but in the first game, he looked amazing. Shout out to him. I'm a big fan. 11
points in 5 minutes.
Even though he got hurt in that 5 minutes, he looks like he's about to be the real deal. And then you have Keegan Murray, again, looks like he's going to be the real deal. Super nice player. Jalen Hardy had 28 in his debut. You know, he came from the Ignite. He was rated highly coming out of high school and then went over to Ignite and kind of struggled. 28 for a debut was really good. And overall, I would just say is that, yes, it's summer league, but you still want to see your players perform. And so far, it's looking like these teams that are just always in the doldrums, they look like, you know, they're starting, they got a crop. Like, this looks like a draft is what I will say. Like, it looks like this was the draft to get players. Because even OKC with Jalen Williams, that guy is ridiculous too. Like, the one that got drafted, because they got mans with the same names.
Yeah.
The one that got drafted 12th, he looks ridiculous as well. So, this looks like we have a nice draft. And I'm excited for it for sure. So, I'm definitely excited to see what happens moving forward. But we'll wrap it up like that. Do you have anything else you want to get off top?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, so next week we're going to have Rob's back. Who knows, man? Hopefully we see some more action in terms of, you know, KD getting resolved, Kyrie getting resolved. Low-key, you have Ayton still out here just twindling in the wind because, you know, you're just holding him up for a possible KD trade or whatever the case may be. That might be a good discussion to talk about what the hell is happening with him and how did he basically fall into purgatory. No one's talking about that man no more. But next episode coming up next week, and hopefully we'll be able to get all three of us on the pod. But subscribe and all of that, and we're out of here.